Here's how it typically happens in most people's life when they're starting. You pray in the Spirit, and then you pause and say, Lord, help me to interpret. A few verses come to you. Go with that. A phrase comes to you. A sentence comes to you. One word comes to you. I was praying over one lady. I was going up and down this prayer line. Every time I'd come to her, I pray in the Spirit when I'm getting ready to minister to people, because sometimes it quickens me to what that person needs. And every time I'd come to this lady, I'd just pray over her. I'd get the word suicide. That's all I got. Now we're talking this sweet, dear old looking lady. I thought, man, I missed it on that one. So I go on down, because you know you can miss it. I come back to her. I mean, she looked, remember that old Wendy's commercial, Where's the Beef? She looked like the Where's the Beef lady. And it's like, wow, no, she doesn't look like she could commit suicide. So I come back on down. And I just didn't have enough faith for it. Finally, I couldn't get away from it. I got one word. Everybody say one word. It was not a translation of everything I'd been praying over. It was just a general sense and idea. I started with the one word according to my faith. I didn't have faith to say suicide. I did have the faith to say this. I sense the Lord is showing me that you've been having thoughts that your life is not worth living. I had faith for that. I didn't have faith to just hit it head on. Because if I'm wrong, then it's like, you know, you haven't accused her of wanting to commit suicide or something. Because you can embarrass people if you don't handle things right. And so, boy, when I said that, she started weeping. Where's the beef lady? She started weeping. She started crying. And I knew I was in on it then. Her family, they didn't go to this church. They went to a Methodist church. They were just visiting this meeting. Her family stood up, and I said, and the enemy's trying to tell you that your life is not worth living. Her daughter stands up and goes, oh! I knew I was in on it then. I said, praise God. My radar locked on. Boing. And my faith went up. Now, you think that's flesh, but you prophesy according to your proportion of faith. They didn't have catchers. You know, this is before the day of catchers. And this was like a cement floor. And I don't push people over. You probably noticed I don't push people, twist necks. More people need healing afterwards than before with some people. And so I just kind of lightly touched the Where's the Beef lady, and I walked on. I heard this thud. She had fallen on a cement floor and hit it. I thought, oh my God. I thought, she is dead. And I am not covered for this, you know. And she wasn't hurt a bit. Make a long story short, her husband of like 50 years, one of those stories, had died. A few months earlier, she was grieving, could not get out of it. I absolutely thought she was going to kill herself. I'm talking through praying in the Spirit and just one little word bubbling up into my conscience and going with that one word, a lady's life. She walked out like she was on platform shoes. I cannot stress this enough. That's why I'm spending the most time on it. If you want spiritual sensitivity throughout the day, start using the speaking gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right, quickly, number 5, the fifth key. The fifth key. Everybody say it's Friday night. Everybody say Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live.
Amen. We're not going to take all night, but the other side of it is I'm not going to get in a hurry. Amen. It's Friday night. I mean, back in the world, you didn't say, golly, it's 5 till 9. It's time to get home. You were just cranking up back in those days. All right, number 5. Abound with thanksgiving throughout the day. Abound with thanksgiving throughout the day. And I want to give you a little footnote here. Use the 3 miracle words, thank you, Jesus. Abound with thanksgiving throughout the day and learn to use the 3 miracle words, thank you, Jesus. I've learned to do this. I walk into the office and I got more bills than money. Thank you, Jesus. Are you thanking Jesus for more bills and money? No, I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. There'll be an answer to this. I've got a problem, a dilemma. I don't know how to solve at home. Thank you, Jesus. I have a victory happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Colossians 2, and I want you to mark this. Mark verses 6 and 7. This is more important to your establishment as a Christian than you may realize. Proverbs 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, circle this, so walk in Him. Well, let's just pause right there. How did you receive Jesus? Was it through works or through faith? How did you receive Jesus? Through works? Were you good enough? Did you earn it? Or was it by faith? All right, look at the verse again. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord through faith, so walk in Him. That means walk in faith. Verse 7, rooted. Underline that. Rooted. Built up in Him. Established in the faith. And here it is. Abounding therein with what? Thanks. Now I'm going to tell you why. If you never get over into thanksgiving, your faith won't grow very deep. Because if you're not thanking the Lord throughout the day, you're probably complaining throughout the day. You walk in and there's more bills than money. Most people say, like, oh my God. And they don't say that in the form of a prayer. They say it in the form of swearing. Oh my God. They take the name of the Lord in vain. Jesus. And they're not calling out on the name of the Lord. They're really almost saying a curse. Almost saying a curse. That's very common in the world. That's the way people talk. You walk into a situation, you don't know what to do. Oh man, when it rains, it pours. You know, and you're on a negative track instead of the positive track of thank you, Lord. Everybody say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
See, thanksgiving, and we said it on Sunday, you ought to write this down, is the language of faith. Thanksgiving is how faith talks. Thank you, Lord. I shall have Isaac. Though Sarah and I are childless, though we're over 100, I shall have a child. Thank you, Lord. That's faith talking. That's faith talking. Joseph is in prison. Doesn't look like he's ever going to get out. Thank you, Lord. The dream is true. Oh, Jehovah, I just thank you and I praise you. I believe the dream you gave me as a young man will come to pass. Thank you, Lord. I don't look at these circumstances. I don't look at the jail. Thank you. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, there's more to it than just being positive. Look at verse 7. It says, rooted, built up Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Evidently, the Apostle Paul went in there and taught them. He said, listen, I want to teach you something. If you want to be established, secure Christian, you're going to have to start abounding. Not just a little dabble, do you? Not just on Thanksgiving Day. Abounding with thanksgiving. Now, I had I heard this face-to-face with a man. A man who had been in the lifestyle of homosexuality. And he was in the bondage to homosexuality. You know, most of us probably cannot relate to that. But just perversion, sexual, psychological, every type of addiction probably you can think of all wrapped up into this lifestyle. And he said, you know, I got saved. He said, but even though I was saved, I still had these tendencies and still had this lifestyle. Now see, a lot of Christians would write the guy off right there. Because they don't understand what we drew earlier about the heart and the broken heart and how your spirit man can be changed, but your heart's not right, and so forth. He said, but you know what? He said, I had somebody tell me to start abounding with thanksgiving every day that I was delivered. That I was delivered from the spirit of homosexuality. And thank the Lord every day that my emotions and my desires were normal. And that the Lord was going to normalize my devotion, my emotions and my affections. He said, I would go throughout the day, thank you, Lord, that I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit's restoring my soul. Thank you, Lord. He said exactly what that verse says happened. Look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. He said after a few months of living like that and thanking the Lord every day, he said, even though everything within me was screaming, that's not true. That's not true. He said, my affections changed. My desires changed. Well, when I talked to him, he was happily married. Had children running around his house. And a minister of the gospel. I'm telling you, there are things in your life that you'll never get free from if you don't abound with thanksgiving. There are things that you will never get free from if you don't abound with thanksgiving. You mean I'm supposed to thank the Lord? No, thank the Lord you're out of it. Thank the Lord that He's restored your soul. The brokenhearted have been put back together. Thank you, Lord, I've been delivered. Thank you, Lord, I've been forgiven. Thank you, Lord, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. You enter into thanksgiving. You business people, you do the same thing. Thank you, Lord, my business is prospering. But Jason, you ought to look at my checkbook. No, I don't want to look at your checkbook. I'd rather look at the bank of heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that our business is prospering. Thank you, Lord, you're bringing new accounts our way. Thank you, Lord, the money's coming in. We got more money we know what to do with. And you know, you close the door on your office. I do this when I go home. I close the door on my office. I just walk around thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, the radio's growing. Thank you, Lord, new stations are coming to us. Thank you, Lord, that people are being ministered to every day. There's not one dead broadcast out there. Every day that word goes forth, people are being ministered to in their cars or in their homes or in the hospital or where they might be. Thank you, Lord, that there's plenty of people out there too that are going to respond, like the one leper that came back. And help us, Lord, so that we can continue these broadcasts. Thank you, Lord, for a great army of supporters and partners for our radio ministry to not only be supported but to expand. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? That puts you on a positive track. I mean, you walk out, it's just like, hallelujah. Amen. Devils are embarrassed to be around you. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Oh, there's just so many verses we could go to, but this will be the last one on this particular key. Romans 1, 21. Everybody say, abound with thanksgiving throughout the day. Now, if you just do the last two we talked about, you're going to be praying in the Spirit throughout the day. You're going to be singing in the Spirit throughout the day. At times, you'll be interpreting throughout the day. In between times when you want to break from praying in the Spirit, you'll be saying, thank you, Jesus, throughout the day. I mean, your whole lifestyle is going to be more, they that are minded of the things of the Spirit have life and peace. They that mind the things of the Spirit have life and peace. You're getting your soul and your spirit wedded together, as it were. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God. And they also messed up somewhere else. Mark verse 21. Neither were thankful. Verse 21. Chapter 1. Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were what? Neither were what? And look what that leads to. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Did you know when you get over into the opposite of thanksgiving, what is that? Murmuring, complaining, not giving God any glory. It causes your mind to shut down, as it were, from the creativity that the Holy Ghost would like to give you. It says that your imagination becomes unproductive. Your heart is darkened, and you don't have the creative energy, and it's just a matter of time that you go into a perverse lifestyle, which this passage goes on to talk about. Let's flip it around. Let's read this verse backwards. I like to do that sometimes. Let's say it said this, verse 21. I think this is fair. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him as God and abounded with thanksgiving. And their imaginations became productive, not vain. And their heart was enlightened. Can you see that? When we get into thanksgiving, it gets us into the creativity. The Holy Ghost knows. The Holy Ghost starts percolating up, bubbling up. We get some creativity. We get some light. Our mind becomes fruitful instead of unfruitful. We get God ideas. Everybody say God ideas. That's one of the reasons we need to abound with thanksgiving. All right, number six, the sixth key to developing spiritual sensitivity. Develop the habit of writing down. You need to develop the habit of writing down key thoughts. Develop the habit of writing down key thoughts and ideas that come to you throughout the day. Now, this is a habit you have to develop. Develop the habit of writing down key ideas and thoughts that come to you throughout the day. And I'll pick up on something that was spoken over someone in one of the other meetings. And that is, you really ought to just have the habit of keeping right by your bed a little pad and a little a pen. And when you get I find when I lay down at night, sometimes before I drift to sleep, I get answers for things I need tomorrow. But if I don't jot them down, I will forget them. I cannot tell you, Pastor West, how many fabulous sermons and series I've had and lost because I didn't write them down. Have you ever had that happen? I mean, God give you an idea. The Holy Ghost percolate up in you. Sometimes when you're in that twilight between sleep and wakefulness, I think many times the Holy Spirit has more of a chance to get in there because our mind's not all focused on something else. And I cannot tell you how many, I hate to admit it, how many times the Holy Spirit in the past would give me something and it was just like, I know y'all are sanctified and y'all are beyond this, but it's just like, Lord, it's too much effort to reach over here. I'll do it in the morning. In the morning, it's gone like a vapor. So I've changed. I keep that pad right there. And when I get something, I may click that light on two or three times. And Martha, she just lives with it. She just turns over the other way and looks the other way. She doesn't want the light in her eyes. And she knows I'm up there. Oh, praise God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting ideas. I'm getting key thoughts. And I'll tell you, some of them will put money in your pocket. Some of them will put money in your pocket. You do what God tells you to do. He knows where the fish are. Oh, preacher shouldn't be talking like that. Why not? Peter caught a bunch of fish. He said, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We're tired of it. If you want to know the truth, I'm ready to go home. I'm headed to the house. Peter, take your boat and go back out there. I know where the fish are. And he caught a boat sinking, net breaking load of fish and sold them and used that money. Habakkuk chapter 2. A couple more passages and we're through. Habakkuk chapter 2. Are you learning something? We're talking about spiritual sensitivity. You say, well, why is this important, spiritual sensitivity? Well, it doesn't do you any good if God speaks to you and you don't remember it. Hello? Hello? Doesn't do any good if God speaks to you and you don't remember it.
Oh, I'll tell you, I got some of the greatest prophetic utterances the other night. What did God say? Can't quite remember.
Wow, you're on your way to being a spiritual giant. Develop the habit of writing down key thoughts and ideas that come to you throughout the day. Habakkuk chapter 2. We looked at this in, I believe, one of the morning sessions. Go to chapter 2 and let's look at verse 2 and 3. Well, actually, it was one of the sessions on times and seasons. Look at verses 2 and 3. If these aren't marked in your Bible, mark them. Habakkuk chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. There it is. Everybody say, write the vision. Everybody say, write the idea. Write the thought. All right, verse 2. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will say it, surely come. Say it. It will surely come. Say it. It will surely come. Now, why do you imagine the Lord told him to write it down? Because it's going to come. But during those waiting phases, when you get discouraged, you need to pull that thing out and reread it. Now, here's what the Lord said. I know the Lord said this. I've got it dated. Look at that. 3 years ago. You know, I've got things actually in my book bag back at the hotel room that the Lord has spoken to me years ago that have been so significant to me that I keep them with me. I keep them with me. Why? Just like what Paul told Timothy. He said, don't you remember the prophetic utterances that went on you? He says, by them war a good warfare. You remember what God said to you so that you can war a good warfare. Because in those waiting times, every doubt's going to hit you. No, God didn't speak to you. That was just an idea running through your mind. You pull that little piece of paper out and say, no, I wrote it down here. And you remind yourself, it causes you to hold on to your faith. Causes you to hold on to your faith. All right, number 7. This is the last key that I'm going to give you. This is not obviously the last key of spiritual sensitivity. I bet you you'll be able to add more to this. The last one we'll look at, the 7th key for developing spiritual sensitivity is this. Develop a listening ear and instant obedience. Develop a listening ear and instant obedience. St. John 14, and this is our last text. St. John chapter 14. Develop a listening ear and instant obedience. Now, if you've done the things we've described prior in the other keys, you're going to be hearing God. I have no doubt about this. If you spend time, for instance, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs throughout the day, if you'll begin to pray in the Spirit more throughout the day, if you'll begin to study the Word and become addicted to the Word, we talked about a number of keys, I have no doubt at all the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you. But then you've got to obey. Everybody say obey.
Obey.
Obey. Everybody say obey. And so when you know that God has said thus and so, you obey it as quick as you can. St. John 14, and go to verse 21. This is quite a verse. Just before I came over here, I was looking at this verse and studying some of the original words and what they meant. It's just so amazing, this verse. St. John chapter 14, go to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. May I just paraphrase that? The one who knows what they're supposed to do and does it, obeys. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And here's what I want you to see. Circle this. I will love him and will manifest. There's the word I want you to see. And will manifest myself to him. Now, let me give you the definition for the word manifest. The word manifest there means to disclose and make information known. To disclose and make information known. Here's what Jesus is saying. And the context is there is Jesus saying, I'm getting ready to go away. And they're saying, well, how are you going to talk to us? You're not going to be here. How are you going to talk to us? Look at verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. Verse 22. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? I mean, they're confused and I can't blame them. Jesus is getting ready to go away. He says, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And they're like, wait a minute. You're not going to be here. How are you going to communicate to us? I mean, today we would say walkie-talkie. Holy Ghost walkie-talkie. But they didn't even understand telephones, walkie-talkie. I mean, I imagine these men were totally in the dark. How are you going to do it? And Jesus said, I'll tell you what. You obey me and more shall be given. You obey me and my Holy Spirit will show you the next step. You obey me and I will tell you the information you need. I'll manifest myself to you. Here's the other side of it. God tells you to take that step and you don't do it. Why in the world should God tell you the next step down the road? It's like raising my children. My children are good, good children. They really are. But occasionally, children are children. And so you say, Ryan, Joanna, I want you to make the bed in your room, pick up your room, and then we got something really special we're going to do. Daddy, what's that really special thing? What's that special thing? Well, go make your bed and clean up the room. And so, you know, you walk by the room about 5 minutes later, and children are children. They just, all of a sudden, you know, they're into something else. I mean, he's having World War III with the G.I. Joe guys. Is the bed made? No, the bed's not made. You walk by, Dad, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Ryan, the bed. Oh, okay. And normally they get right to it, but how many parents can relate to this? It's like, okay, I'm not disclosing and I'm not manifesting the cool thing that we're going to do until that bed is made and the room is picked up. You do that, more shall be given. It's like walking with a flashlight. How many of you are professional at walking at flashlights? How many of you ever used a flashlight? How many of you have ever seen a flashlight? Nobody has walked with a flashlight. All right, you take that flashlight you bought at Walmart. You're so excited about it. Praise God, this is a 3-battery flashlight. And so you flip that beam on, and that beam goes, say, 20 feet. Really neat flashlight, 20 feet. But you know, you didn't buy it to just go 20 feet, did you? You bought that flashlight so that you could walk from here to the shed out there that is 100 feet. So what do? You say, reject flashlight, man. It only goes 20 feet. You take that back to the Walmart customer service. You say,
I paid good money for this flashlight. I'm a hard-working man. I got to go 100 foot. Don't you got a 100-foot flashlight?
They're going to look at you and go, they're going to look at you and just go, wow, we've got another one. They say, let me tell you, sir, does it turn on?
Oh, yes, it turns on, but it goes to maybe not go to 100.
Tell you what you do, sir. Take notes if you have to. And mark it down. You step into the light that you have, and the beam moves forward. Oh. And so you get the guy walking, oh, Gertrude, come over here, look at this. Look at this, man, see that light light's moving forward. Now, you know, we laugh at a silly little thing like that, but your Christians are like that. It's like, I don't want to just take the next 2 steps, God. I want you to show me the big, long-range plan. And God says, take the next 2 steps. Go to Bible school. Well, I don't know about Bible school. I want to know what my ministry is going to be. Go to Bible school. You go to Bible school, and the beam moves forward. Everybody say it. The beam moves forward. Ooh, everybody say it again. The beam moves forward. That's what Jesus was saying. I'll communicate to you this way. I'll communicate to you. If you will obey, I will manifest. If you don't, it's not going to be disclosed. It's going to be closed. Amen. How many of you learned something about spiritual sensitivity? Are we ready to go out and move with God's times and seasons? Praise God. Listen.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in 2 parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.
World Outreach Ministries presents the teaching ministry of Jason Peebles. Jason is dedicated to teaching God's principles for Christian victory. In addition to his own teaching ministry, Jason is the founder and president of World Outreach Ministries, which is the home office for foreign missionaries in over 30 nations around the world. And now, here's Bible teacher and missions director, Jason Peebles.
Very important verses for you to learn to flow in the Spirit. We're talking about times and seasons, how to move with the times and seasons of God in your life. There will be transition times. There'll be times of spiritual warfare. There'll be those prophetic moments where God wants you to launch into a new arena, as it were. With this, and write this subtitle down, with this, we've started talking about how to develop your spiritual sensitivity. And can you see how those go together? I mean, how can you possibly, number one, even know a time and a season is there, and number two, be able to move with it and flow with what God wants you to flow with if you're spiritually dull? It just doesn't go together. So God wants us to develop spiritual sensitivity. Now, I want to begin with this diagram. Make sure these monitors are off because I'm going to be up here and I don't want to have any feedback. But I want to start with a diagram, and I realize all the way in the back of me I'm not able to read all these words, but draw this as best you can. For the sake of the audio tape, I will describe this probably in more detail. They said, why is he describing that? It's because of the audio tape and they obviously can't see it. But draw a box in your notes, and we're going to take this box and divide it basically into three areas. And so with two lines right through the box, we've got a top, middle, and a lower section of the box. Now the top box, let's label that the Spirit. Well, I'll tell you what, let me reverse that. Let's label the top box the body. We'll do it that way, the body. Let's label the middle part the soul. And then let's label the lower part the Spirit. Now, we went through this quite extensively in one of the morning sessions. And by the way, we don't have the tapes of those sessions on our table. Get those from the church because this is new material we've been teaching and the church has a way for you to get those. But I think this pretty well summarizes who you are. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Let's say it. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, we don't have time to go back over verses on that. We've already done that. But that really describes the three dimensions of who you are. You see, we are created like God in God's image. God is a spirit. John 4:23. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. All right? I'm created like God. You're created like God. So first and foremost, you are a spirit. You have a soul. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and you live in a container called a body. Now, we've diagrammed it this way. The soul, and I'm going to erase this, and you may just want to add this in your notes there, but I'm going to label this a little more detail. We're going to call that the mind, the will, and the emotions. The mind, the will, and the emotions. And so that is really what your soul is made of. Your soul is made up of your mental faculties, your thinking faculties, your will, the power of choice, and your feelings or emotions. Now, there's something that we have not touched on, but I want to just touch on it here. And that is, there's a term that the New Testament uses, cardia, where we get the word heart. Now, see, you say, well, where does the heart fit into this framework? The Greek word for body is soma. And the Greek word for soul is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, where we get the English transliteration as psyche. So you've heard of psychology, the study of the mind. Soma, you've heard of psychosomatic diseases. And then the spirit, the Greek word is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And I'm quite confident you can't read those in the back. Soma, S-O-M-A, psuche, we call it psyche, but the Greek is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, and pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. These are the three words, but there's a different word for heart. Now, I've heard a lot of people, and again, I'm not trying to, you know, pick issues with people, but I've heard a lot of people use the two interchangeable as though spirit and heart were not the same thing. Let me tell you what I think the heart is. I'm going to draw a dotted line, a little dotted line, another dotted box that incorporates part of the soul and part of the spirit. In other words, it's the deepest part of the soulish realm. This is what I believe is the cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. You've heard of the cardiac unit at a hospital, the heart unit. Well, in the New Testament, when it refers to heart, it's not referring to the physical organ of the heart, but it's referring to the deepest part of the soulish realm, right up where it intersects with the spirit. Right up where it intersects with the spirit. Now, why is this important to know? We're going to look at some verses in just a moment on this. We're talking about spiritual sensitivity. Everybody say spiritual sensitivity. All right, we're talking about getting your mind, getting your mind tuned in to the spirit within you, getting your mind tuned in to the spirit within you so that what the Holy Spirit knows, I'll put an HS here, once you're born again, once you're saved, the Holy Spirit joins with your human spirit. Is that not right? That's what the new creation is all about. Everybody say, my human spirit has joined with the Holy Spirit. And so that's what the Bible calls the new man. It says, put on the new man. Put on the new man where? Up into your soul. Get your mind, will, and emotions in touch with the spirit. And the heart is the deepest part. Now, I'll give you another little insight. And this is my personal viewpoint, okay? This, after a lot of study, etc., this is the way I see it. If you see it different, fine. Amen. I don't think you have to agree on these things to go to heaven. Praise God. Everybody say, praise God. But the cardia, I would say, in my studies, is analogous to the modern concept of subconscious. And so, you know, the term subconscious is not a New Testament biblical term. It's really a Freudian term. It's a secular term. But it describes something that we all, I think, are aware of. There's two levels of your mind. There's a surface level, which we call the conscious level. But there's a great many things, in fact, within our very body that are controlled not by our conscious level. Thank God I don't have to remember that my heart should beat. Thank God I don't have to remember to breathe. But there's a great host of things that take place in a lower level than the conscious level. I think that's a lack of a better term. It's fine. Subconscious is below the conscious level. But I prefer to use the biblical term heart. So how many of you know it's very possible to love God or say you love God on the conscious level, but your heart is far from God? And we say things like this, I love you from the bottom of my heart. What do we mean there? Well, we're not just saying, you know, I love you with my mind. I love you with my feelings. Really, the feelings, the emotions are way down here in the lower part of the soulish realm. And so when it says, worship the Lord with all your heart, God is not just interested in people with their conscious level saying like robots, I love you, O great Jehovah, you are mighty. I mean, he can get a tape recorder to do that. Hello. But when we love God with all our heart, it's not just the conscious level, it's our feelings, our emotions, from the depth of our being, we love God. Amen? Now, that's going to be important as we go on, and you may want to just glance at that or glance at the notes that you've taken there. All right, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. It says, for they that are after the flesh, and that Greek term is sarx, for they that are after the flesh do mind, they think about, they dwell on, they consider the things of the flesh. Now, how many of you want to be spiritually sensitive instead of tuned into the flesh all the time? I see that those are the different ends of the pole. Spiritually sensitive, that is sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants, versus, you know, being tuned in to what the world offers and flesh, the carnal life. He says the way to do that is you think about it. So it makes sense. If you're going to watch worldly movies, if you're going to read worldly literature, worldly magazines, that's going to help you tune into sarks, flesh. He says, okay, don't do that. Read the rest of verse 5. But they that are after the Spirit. How many of you want to be after the Spirit? Spiritually sensitive. All right, here's what you need to do. Mark it in verse 5. Put it in yellow. This is a critical verse to spiritual sensitivity. He says in verse 5, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind, that's implied, they mind the things of the Spirit. Now, what are some of the things of the Spirit? Does that mean we walk outside and just kind of look up in the sky and, oh, yes, the Spirit? No, no, no. What are the things of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God. So we get our mind on the Word of God. We get our mind on the will of God, the plan of God. We want to please God. Our mind then becomes fixated and gravitating towards the things of God, the things of pneuma, the things of the Spirit, and not the soma, or that is the flesh. Look at the next verse, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. To be sarx minded, to think about the flesh, is death. But, and you ought to mark this, verse 6, to be spiritually minded, pneuma minded, spiritually, spirit minded, to be spiritually minded brings, mark it, circle it, life and peace. Woo, that's what I want. Everybody say life and peace. Life and peace. Now that word peace, I was studying that this afternoon. That word peace can also be translated prosperous, prosperity. I mean, it brings you, and I'm not talking about just dollar signs here. I'm talking about it brings you life. It brings you the good life. It brings you God's will. It brings that prosperity that only God can bring. Only God can bring. Did you know most of what we need, money can't buy? Most of what humans need, money cannot buy. I've met some of the most miserable people that have big, fat bank accounts. Now, nothing wrong with a big, fat bank account. I could take both of them if I could get them. Peace and a fat bank account. Amen? But the point is this. Most of what you need in life, money can't buy. Listen, if your child is far away from God, if your child is into drugs and dope, you know, money can't rescue them. It might help, but somewhere they're going to have to change down here on the inside. Money can't reach in there. You know, if you're an alcoholic and you're in bondage to alcohol, which is a drug in liquid form, money might get you into a program or whatever, but ultimately you've got to change down on the inside. Money can't reach there. He says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we're going to look at some more keys. 1 Peter chapter 1, I just wanted to give you some introductory verses. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, when we talk about being spiritually sensitive, and I'm going to say some things here, but please understand my spirit. I am not saying that if somebody says it differently, you know, let's don't get upset. We're not trying to take issue with people. But for the sake of trying to teach a straight line here, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've said these things myself, and I've had to correct myself. But I hear people say like this, well, I need to train my spirit. Oh, I've got to train my spirit. Well, here's the way I see it. My spirit, human spirit, has already been joined to the Holy Spirit. It's recreated, made new. I've got to get my soul trained, more properly talking. I've got to get my soul renewed. Or I've got to get my soul in harmony with the Spirit. It kind of interests me, you know, if you say, well, I've got to train my spirit. Well, what's going to train your spirit? Your imperfect soul? Is that going to train your spirit? Is it going to be sarx? Is that going to train your spirit? No. The Holy Spirit has given me the new birth. It's my spirit that's got to train my soul. My soul's what's given me the problem. All right, chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says, seeing that you have purified your souls. There you go, circle it. Circle the word soul. Verse 22. Seeing that you have purified your souls. I can't purify my spirit. Jesus purified my spirit. Hello. The blood of Christ has caused my spirit man to be born again. My spirit man has been made new, totally. But it's a process for my soul to be brought in line with what the Spirit already is. It's a process of my soul. Verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the Spirit, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now look at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All right, what caused me to get born again? I heard the Word. Everybody say the Word. And we had some testimonies tonight about that. People say, well, I went to this meeting, I heard somebody, and the Lord just picked me up and I went forward. However it happened, I heard the Word. What happened at that point? The Word, the seed of God's Word, came in through my senses. I heard the word with my eye. I heard the word with my ears. It came into me. I received it through my soul. That word, like a seed, went down in there, germinated. My spirit was born again. Everybody say born again. That just simply means made new. All of a sudden, I've got life. Where my spirit at once was dead unto God, my human spirit now is alive unto God. But here's the process. Look at the verse above it. It says, now you're purifying your soul. Your soul is in the process of putting on what the spirit already has. That's what spiritual sensitivity is all about. That's what spiritual sensitivity is all about. Did you know it's very possible to be born again, made new in your spirit, but be spiritually dull? Because why? Go back to Romans 8. Don't turn there, but think about it. Romans 8, 5 and 6. Because you're minding the things of the flesh. You're just concerned about all the daily cares. We all have to pay bills. We all have to get our car fixes. We all have to do this stuff. But if we get so consumed in that, that our soul is more oriented towards sarks and flesh than spirit, we're not going to be spiritually sensitive. Spiritually sensitive. Ephesians 3, this will be our last introductory verse. And I just want to point this out to you on the realm of the heart. Ephesians chapter 3. And the word heart is cardia. So cardia is not pneuma, cardia is not psuche, and cardia is not soma. Cardia is cardia. What is the cardia? That's been a debate. I mean, you know, you get in Bible schools and kids almost getting fist fights over, bless God, I'll pop your head off, you know, if you don't agree with me, you know. At Oral Roberts University, they sit around the hall debating these things, you know, and well, I hope they can fix the world with it, amen. Cardia. I believe the cardia is analogous to the subconscious. Now, let me show you a passage here that's interesting. Ephesians 3, look at verse 16. He says that He would grant you, look at verse 16. Paul is praying that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Please mark this phrase, in the inner man. Everybody say the inner man. Now, there's another phrase you need to come used to. Now, let's just stop here. Don't answer it out loud. Just think about it. Don't anybody get embarrassed. What would your inner man be comprised of? Well, look at the diagram. What would the inner man be comprised of? Well, let's turn it around. What's the outer man? That ought to be easy. What's the outer man? The body. The container is the outer man. This is Jason's outer man. All right, so the inner man would be everything in the container, which would be the soul and the spirit and the heart. All of it. Everything you can't see is in the inner man. So that's just kind of a catch-all phrase for psuche, pneuma, and cardia lumped together. That's the inner man. That's the inner you. Verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now look at the next verse. Verse 17. This is what's interesting. That Christ may dwell in your what? Cardia. See, now, you say, well, oh, Jesus, I want Jesus to dwell in my heart. Well, we use that, you know, loosely, and we understand what people are saying. I receive Jesus in my heart. That's fine. But look at me. Do you think the Ephesians were believers that He's writing to or non-believers? He's writing to believers. And so Jesus, I'll draw a cross here, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is already in their pneuma, their believers. But He's saying, I'm praying that Christ may dwell in your what? In your what? Cardia. Everybody say heart. In other words, it's not just enough to be born again. I want you to let Jesus come into your emotions. Have you ever heard of the brokenhearted? This is why we talk about the brokenhearted. You can be a saved person, but your emotions are totally messed up. Your subconscious is messed up. Your thinking processes are messed up. He said, okay, now that you're Christians, believers at Ephesus, I want Christ not just to dwell in you in the born-again experience. I want Jesus to come up into your heart, up into your mind, renew your mind, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In other words, get your psuche and pneuma together. Get your soulish realm and your spirit man in tune. Everybody say in tune. Are you getting a little insight here? And so when we talk about the brokenhearted, this is a very important aspect because people can't get healed if they don't understand. A lot of people have this viewpoint. Well, you're saved. What's wrong with you? I've actually heard ministers say that. Well, you're saved. What's wrong with you? You're depressed and discouraged. You must not have gotten really saved. Well, that's because they're totally ignoring this inner realm that, you know, can be broken even though that you're saved. All right, let me give you key number four. Key number four on how to develop spiritual sensitivity. And you say, well, what happened to the first three keys? Well, get the tape. Amen. We just don't have time to go back over everything. Key number four, the fourth key for developing spiritual sensitivity is this: yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit throughout the day. We're going to be talking about the personal usage, not just the church usage. Yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit throughout the day, especially the speaking gifts. Yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit throughout the day, especially, everybody say especially, especially the speaking gifts. Now, I think most of you are aware of this, but let's itemize these. You want to put a little footnote under that. What are the speaking gifts? The speaking gifts, tongues, or some people prefer to call it the prayer language, which is a biblical phrase. It is in the Word. We'll see that, the phrase prayer language, or language, or prayer, form of prayer. So the speaking gifts would be tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those are commonly, and you can see why, called the speaking gifts. These are the gifts that are utterance-oriented. Now, why is this important to spiritual sensitivity? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 together. And I think this is very good that we're on this. Some of you probably know these things. Others of you just received the baptism in the Holy Spirit the other night. Some of you may have just been reactivated, as it were. You know, it's very possible. How many of you know it's possible to have gifts and you just quit using them? Somebody said, well, how can that be? Well, how many of you know it's possible to pray in English and quit praying in English for a while? I mean, either way you go. And so we need to use it, not lose it. Everybody say, use it.
Use it.
Everybody say, use it.
Use it.
Not lose it. All right, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, you can see right off the bat that my degree at Oral Roberts University was not in art. I am sketching someone in the audience. I will not say who it is because Jeff would be mad at me. Oh, sorry, Brother Jeff. No. All right, we want to diagram, don't laugh. I'm going to look at yours in a minute. And let's draw the mind. I've got different ways of drawing this. You know, we've got the box diagrams and different. Let's draw the mind. Down here we'll put the spirit. And I'll put HS above that because this fellow happens to be born again. So it's not just the human spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. And of course, this beautiful diagram is the soma, the body. Now, why is praying in the Spirit important to spiritual sensitivity? All right, let's just stop for a moment. What are we trying to do when we're talking about spiritual sensitivity? What are we trying to get together? Look at your last diagram. What are we trying to get together? We're trying to get the mind more tuned into the what?
Spirit.
That's the whole objective. Whether we're talking about reading the Word, whether we're talking about prayer, whatever keys we're talking about, the whole objective is trying to get your mind back to the living soul. Remember the living soul? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And man became a what? A living soul. His soul was charged with the very life of God. We talked about that last night. All right, we are now in a transformation process. Be transformed by the renewing of your psuche, your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. All right, we're trying to get the spirit. Somebody said, I'm trying to get it down in my spirit. No, we're trying to get your spirit up in your brain. Remember those before the Mr. Coffee? Remember those old percolators? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Remember how they'd heat the water up and they had a little thing up there and go, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. What kind of coffee was that? Do y'all remember what that was? Maxwell House. Bunch of coffee drinkers here. Amen. That gives me insight on what kind of altar call we need to have tonight. Praise God. But you know that coffee would get hot and it would go, dun-dun-dun-dun, then hit the top like that? That's what you need. You need to get so hot in the Holy Ghost, you start percolating in the Holy Ghost. In other words, some God ideas come up and hit your brain. Hallelujah. And you start getting God ideas for your business, God visions, God dreams. God starts showing you what to do. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to verse 1. Now, in your notes, I want to give you some benefits of using the speaking gifts. I want to talk for just a moment about the benefits of using the speaking gifts. What are the speaking gifts again? Tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Now, most people will only, you know, come to church and use it when the church is singing in the Spirit. We need to become accustomed to praying in the Spirit throughout the day. And so when you're driving around in your automobile, or you're driving around in your truck, or you're at the factory, or you're walking across the campus or whatever, it ought to just be commonplace for you just to be communing with the Lord. You may be talking in your English for a while. Lord, you know, I just give you this test that's coming up. Lord, I ask that you would help me on this test. Lord, help me to recall what I've studied. If you haven't studied, oh God, forgive me. Have mercy, God. Please help me, God. and then you switch over and pray in the Spirit a little bit. Just under your breath. And nobody has to know. You don't have to go across acting like an idiot. You know, somebody passed you, you just switch over to English. You know, hey, Bob, how you doing? Okay, hey, you having a good day? Great, great, great. They never know it. You're undercover for Jesus. Amen. See? Just pray it in the Spirit. Well, why do we want to do this? Let's look at it. Verse 1. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Would you circle the word and? Somebody says, well, I'm more interested in love. I'm more interested in love. I'll take the love, you take the gifts. That's not what the word says. Verse 1 says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. We need both. Everybody say both.
Both.
Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, especially, the King James says rather, it's a better translation there, especially that you may prophesy. Now what is prophecy? Prophecy, watch this, prophecy is when the Holy Spirit, let me diagram this. Prophecy is when the Holy Spirit, the new man, gives your mind an idea or a message or scripture. And it comes into your consciousness and then you utter it out of your mouth. I feel the Lord would say, da 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 da. In other words, first it has come to your mind. Everybody say the mind. And so, you know, that's why he says especially that you may prophesy, because, you know, even if you pray in tongues, eventually you need to get in the habit of interpreting, because the whole objective is to get your mind hooked up to the Holy Spirit. Now, praying in tongues in and of itself does have certain benefits, but the greatest benefit is if you can go on and begin to understand what the Lord is trying to communicate to you about that problem or that situation or that person that you're praying about. That's why he says, especially that you may prophesy, because that's just right to the mind straight away. That's right to the mind. All right, let's go to verse 2. He says, for he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, mark this please, but unto who?
God.
But unto who?
God.
Now I'm going to erase this, and you may have to follow me now in your note taking and maybe draw another little man. I don't know. But let's diagram tongues. Tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, you are not communicating with your mind first. Nor are you communicating out here with all these people. These are supposed to be people, by the way. These are people. You're not, you know, it's not going to do any good to walk up to your boss tomorrow and go, he's going to say, you're fired. And so you're not speaking to men. But look at the verse. It says, speaketh not unto men, but unto who?
God.
Unto who?
God.
Well, that's half of you. Unto who?
God.
Okay, so is tongues gibberish? Is tongues hype? Is it just emotionalism? I've seen people add that to it, but according to that verse, it says, when I pray in tongues, I bypass my mind, it comes right out of my spirit, and I'm speaking unto God. Any way you cut that, honey, that's prayer. When you speak to God, that's prayer. That's why it's very appropriate to say it's another type of prayer language or form of prayer. Verse 2. He that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not to men, but unto God. For no man understands him. And you ought to circle this. However, in the Spirit. Notice how it equates tongues with in the Spirit. In the Spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. Everybody say mysteries. Well, why does he say he speaks mysteries? Because your mind at this point is kind of, you know, I don't know what I'm praying about. And that's what confuses a lot of people. They say, Brother Jason, I'm really having a hard time with my prayer language because I don't know what I'm saying. I say, you're right on track. You're not supposed to know what you're saying. It's a prayer right unto the Lord, unless you come back around and interpret it, which is something else you can learn. But if you knew it, then that's not a prayer language. That's Spanish or Portuguese or an acquired or learned language. This is a language and utterance that comes from the Holy Spirit. And most people in the beginning, I had this problem. I grew up Presbyterian, and I had a long ways to go, just to be honest with you. But my mind got in the way. How many of you have had your mind try to say to you, number one, you're not saved? I mean, after you got saved, didn't your mind just kind of rise up and say, I can't believe that last night you went down front? Your mind talks to you like this, you know. You embarrassed yourself. That your mind will try to say, you know, look in the mirror. You're not saved. Uh-uh, you're not saved. Look, remember what you did. Remember what you and Betty Sue did 100 years ago? No, you're not saved. You know, whatever. And the same is true in any progress you make in the kingdom. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The very next day, your mind is right there saying, that is just gibberish. That's just mumbo jumbo. Forget this. And if you listen to the unrenewed mind, you'll miss God every time. That's why the mind needs what? Renewal. Everybody say renewal. Renewal. All right, so I'm speaking unto God. So in your notes, the very first benefit is I'm speaking unto God. So in your notes, number one, what is the benefit of speaking in tongues? I'm speaking unto God. Is that a benefit? I believe it's a benefit to speak to God, don't you? You say, well, Jason, I can already speak to God in English. Why do I need to speak to God in tongues? Number two, second benefit, because you can speak mysteries to God. And I'm going to explain that. Mysteries. How about if you know everything? Please raise your hand. We will cast you out. Nobody knows everything. This is a very common thing. People come to you, would you pray for me? Oh, yes, I'll pray for you. What is it? Oh, I can't tell you. It's personal. Anybody ever had that? Boy, try to pray for somebody like that. Oh, Lord, I pray for Brother Doodad there. Lord, we don't know what we're praying for, but I pray for Brother Doodad. Lord, really get Brother Doodad. Help Brother Doodad. Oh, God, you know. And that's about as far as you can pray. It's a mystery. Everybody say a mystery. Everybody say a mystery. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit knows? How many of you believe the Holy Spirit knows what Brother Doodad needs? And so the Holy Spirit wants to pray through you to the Father, and He can specifically pray right on target mysteries that your mind doesn't even know how to pray for. You say, well, why pray? That's the mystery of prayer. In some way that I don't pretend to totally understand, we are in a cooperation with God where our prayers do make a difference in His scheme of things. Jesus Himself ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Now, why does Jesus, the Son of God, have to pray? I don't know. Don't ask me questions like that. I just know that in the scheme of things, God has set up that God and man must work together, and prayer is a vital part of that. And there's so many things that we don't even know how to pray for, and God has invented a wonderful means whereby we can pray, bypassing the limitations of our mind. The limitations of our mind. Look at verse 3. He that prophesieth speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So in your notes, you ought to put the benefits of prophecy are, and there's three of them right there. Look at verse 3. When you prophesy, you're doing what? You're edifying, exhorting, and comforting. So if you give someone a message from God, and it doesn't always have to be, you know, like a prophet. Thus saith God. I mean, you can minister to people on your workplace in a very casual fashion, and they never even know it's the prophecy of the Holy Spirit. The Lord speaks to you about them. The Lord gives you a message to them. You don't have to walk up while they're trying to drink their iced tea, knock their tea out of their hands. Yay, God would say to you. They don't want to hear that. I remember one time I was in a restaurant, and in fact, my wife and I, we were on a vacation, and I don't know, do y'all ever get thinking carnally like this? And I thought, Lord, tonight, I'm on vacation. No ministry, praise God. That's a bad way to think. No ministry, this is our night. We're going to a seafood restaurant, a walk on the beach, and then afterwards, you never know. Hallelujah. And so it's like, I'm on break, right? I hate to even admit that, but that's the way I was thinking, you know. And so this little waitress comes over, and I had ordered a seafood platter or something like that. And this little waitress, she's pouring. And as she's pouring, the Holy Ghost speaks to me about her. And my first thought, I wish I could be honest with you and say, I was like, praise God. My first thought was, Lord, this is my night off. And I hate to admit that, but I thought that. And the Lord said, no, I want you to speak my word to her. Now, see, I don't know her condition. I don't know if she's a Christian. It's certainly not appropriate in a public place to stand up and knock the tea out of her hand and go, yay, God would say to you. You know. But there's ways that you can share with someone. Jesus did this with the woman at the well. He said, you come in here for water, aren't you? Uh-huh. Well, how'd you like to find a water that you wouldn't have to come here for? Oh. You know, Jesus jumps on the track with her and starts talking about what she's interested in. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I said, halfway through, so I counted my scallops, I counted my shrimp, and I just ate them very slowly. And so I said, there's the middle point right there. That scallop, that's the halfway point. Oh, thank you. And so you know how you try to get their attention. And so she's running around, and I was like, I had timed it, so I needed more tea. There's an excuse for her to come. And so I finally caught her eye. You know how you catch their eye? And so she came over, and she's pouring tea. And I said, now I know this may seem a little bit out of the ordinary to you. I said, but I feel like the Lord's given me a message for you. Pour that tea, boy. She wouldn't quit pouring. Quit pouring now, okay? And she looked at me, you know, bug-eyed, and I said, I feel like the Lord wants me to encourage you that you're under financial stress, and you've been thinking about dropping out of school because of finances, and the Lord wants you to know that the finances... She started crying right there. How'd you know? I said, am I right? She said, you're right. I looked at my wife. I said, praise God. I was like, yes, all right. I've been bad. She said, no, I'm not in school, you know. I'm a millionaire, and I just do this for fun. Amen, you know. I thought, wow. Okay. Just bring the tea, and I'll shut up. But I ministered to her, and we just chit-chat a little bit. Of course, she was busy, and then she'd come back over, and I'd share a little bit more. I mean, that just meant so much to her. Look at verse 3. Edification. Exhortation and comfort. Why does God want to do that? He just wants to bless people. He just wants their faith to rise. It causes somebody, I don't know her, she doesn't know me. You say, well, did you lead her to the Lord? I didn't feel impressed to pursue that. There wasn't time anyway. I just gave her what God told me to give her, and her faith went up. Now, I'll warn you. I do believe that God at times can correct you, but He will never do it in a way that destroys you. And so if Prophet Doodad comes to you and say, thus saith God, thou art a worm, thou art nothing, thou art but the dust of the ground, be blessed. I mean, you know, something of that fashion, just forget what Prophet Doodad said. Because look at verse 3, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Say it. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Yes, I believe the Lord can correct us, but it will always be done in a fashion that is, I believe in you. You can make it. You can do better. And I'm for you. It'll have that tone and that sense to it. All right, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh... Or verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. All right, mark that. When I pray in tongues, I'm edifying myself. What does the word edify mean? Building up, encouraging. Say, how does it work? I really don't know, but I know that the more I pray in the Spirit, the more it seems like I get my batteries charged. It's like the Holy Spirit comes down to this subconscious level that I'm not even conscious of, and He's just like putting the juice in. He's building me up. And so you businessmen, before you go into a big meeting or a big proposal or something like that, just spend some time praying in the Spirit. I've got an insurance friend that sells insurance down in Georgia, and he said that he got hold of this, and before he would go in to talk with men on key life insurance policies, things like that, he said he just took time, drive around the block two or three times praying in the Spirit until he felt his battery charged up. He said it began to make all the difference in his proposals and his sales. And that's true whether you're farming or whatever you're doing. I mean, pray in the Spirit over what you're doing. Why? It'll edify you and it gets you in a position where you're built up. Are you getting something tonight? All right, look at verses 13, 14, and 15. For the sake of time, I need to move right along here. I wish we could... This is really part of the package on the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may what? Verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may what? Interpret. Now, I know that most of the time we think of that verse only in the sense of at a church service. And yes, if somebody gives a message in tongues at a church service, it is in order for there to be an interpretation. But I learned this from Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, oh, don't you know this just got all over the secular media. They came up to him with a camera, and, you know, they were like celebrating Oral Roberts in, I don't know, 30 or 40 years in Tulsa, you know, and so they're coming up to him, President Roberts, could you just review for us how it is that you built the university? A tent evangelist building a secular a university with degrees. What do they call that? Not secular degrees, but fully accredited degrees. How did you do that? Oral Roberts looked at the camera. He says, well, to tell you the truth, I prayed in tongues and I interpreted. And God showed me how to do it. I mean, you could just see them going. Could you tell us some other ways that you did it? Or else, it's his own testimony, is, I didn't know how to build a university. God showed me how to build a university because I learned to pray in the Spirit. I would interpret back. The Holy Spirit would show me. My mind would be enlightened. And I knew how to get the next step. I knew how to get the property. I knew how to secure the loan. I knew how to find their first professors. The Lord showed me step by step how to do it. I followed what God said. And that's how I got the university. Did they put that on the news? No. But Earl's got it in his archives. And it's on the LRC Learning Resource Center videotapes. Testimony can't be denied. I mean, you may not like the guy, but the guy who did it says through tongue and interpretation. Praise God. So I believe there's a place for personal usage. Everybody say personal usage. So what does it mean? I pray in the Spirit. And according to chapter 14, verse what? 13? Let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may what? That doesn't mean every time you'll get an interpretation. It just means you need to start saying, Lord, would you help me to interpret? Would you help me to understand and communicate to me back around to my mind so that my mind can receive enlightenment and I can take it from a mystery to a solved mystery and I can receive edification, exhortation, and comfort just like prophecy would do. How many of you are getting this? Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do, and we're going to move on to another key. This is so important for spiritual sensitivity. Why? We're trying to get the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions hooked up to the Spirit, and here God has provided this wonderful way to do it. Now, go back to verse 13. It says, wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what praise? Verse 14. All right, mark that. Tongues is not gibberish. Tongues is not hype. Tongues is not emotionalism, though I'm sure there are many people that try to attach that to it. According to verse 14, it's my spirit praying. Everybody say, my spirit, praying. All right, so when I am using my prayer language, my spirit as energized. See, technically it's your human spirit praying. My spirit. Everybody say, my spirit. There's a personal pronoun I there. Technically, it's not the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit energizing, quickening your spirit to pray. It is the prayer language of the Holy Spirit. Through your spirit praying, my spirit prayeth. Look at the rest of the verse. But my understanding is what? My understanding is what? We're in verse 14 now, chapter 14, verse 14. But my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, and this is leaving out the interpretation part. If I just pray in the Spirit, I'm doing fine. I'm edifying myself. I'm communicating to God. But my understanding is unfruitful. My understanding doesn't know what's going on. Look at the next verse. What is it then, brethren? What are we going to do about this? Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the what? Understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the what? Understanding. So, you know, I've become accustomed to doing this. You got to learn the little two-step. Everybody say the two-step. Uh-huh. Do a little two-step. Just do a little two-step. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with your understanding. Got to go around this. Pray with the Spirit. Pray with your understanding. And this is what Oral Roberts taught us to do. He said most charismatics, they just know a lot about praying in the Spirit or singing in the Spirit, but they never do the two-step. They do the one-step, but not the two-step. The one-step is you start off and lifting your voice, praying in the Spirit. And then you pause. You do what verse 13 says. Like verse 13, Lord, would you help me to interpret? The Lord God is mighty, He is mighty, He is mighty. The Lord God is mighty, indeed He is mighty. And you learn to get your understanding following right behind it so that your spirit and your understanding are in this little two-step and your mind is getting enlightenment every step of the way and you begin to hear God to a greater degree. Are you seeing that? Now, I'm not here saying every time you pray in the Spirit, you've got to always interpret. No, in your private usage. But you ought to start asking God, Lord, help me to interpret. Everybody say, Oh God. Help me. To interpret. Let me point out something in verse 15. Please count up the times it says, I will, I will, I will, I will. Verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding. Does it say anything in there about when I feel led? Look closely at verse 15. Does it say anything about when I feel led? Does it say anything in there about when the heebie-jeebies come on me? Does it say about the charismatic goosebumps come on me? It says I will. Everybody say I will. Here's my point. If you took what some people teach over to the English, have you prayed in the Spirit? Well, I just haven't felt led. Well, have you prayed in English? I just haven't felt led. Have you read the Bible? Just haven't felt led. You haven't felt led about anything, have you? And there's a lot of people that are led poisoned. They got led poisoning. It says, I will. Everybody say, I will. So, you know, I've learned this. I've learned to use my prayer language when I feel up and when I feel down. I've learned to use my prayer language when I'm driving to the office. I've learned to use my prayer language when everything's going well. I've learned to use my prayer language when my back's against the wall and I don't know what to do. And I really need to take a mystery from God and solve it. I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm interpreting. I'm praying and I'm interpreting. I'm praying and I'm interpreting. How many of you want to begin to press into that more? I'll tell you why. It hooks you up. It hooks up your mind and your spirit to a greater degree in a greater fashion. Last thing I'll say about this, and then we're going to move on. In fact, let me give you the next passage. Go with me to Colossians 2. And we just don't really have time to spend this much time on each one of these, but we'll cover the points. Colossians 2. The last thing I want to say to you is this. Please, please understand the Bible never, ever says it's the translation of tongues. This will help you. If you think that you're going to reach some point where all of a sudden your eyes roll up and you kind of go, wah, and all of a sudden you understand the words and the syllables as though you were hearing Spanish, if you knew Spanish, the Bible does not call it the translation of tongues. The Bible, here's how it typically happens in most people's life when they're starting. You pray in the Spirit and then you pause and say, Lord, help me to interpret. A few verses come to you. Go with that. A phrase comes to you. A sentence comes to you. One word comes to you. I was praying over one lady. I was going up and down this prayer line. Every time I'd come to her, I pray in the Spirit when I'm getting ready to minister to people because sometimes it quickens me to what that person needs. And every time I'd come to this lady, I'd just pray over her. I'd get the word suicide. That's all I got. Now we're talking this sweet, dear old looking lady. I thought, man, I missed it on that one. So I go on down, bitch, she a kid, because you know you can miss it. I come back to her. I mean, she looked, remember that old Wendy's commercial, Where's the Beef? She looked like the Where's the Beef lady. And it's like, wow, no, she doesn't look like she could commit suicide. So I come back on down. And I just didn't have enough faith for it. Finally, I couldn't get away from it. I got one word. Everybody say one word. It was not a translation of everything I'd been praying over. It was just a general sense and idea. I started with the one word according to my faith. I didn't have faith to say suicide. I did have the faith to say this. I sense the Lord is showing me that you've been having thoughts that your life is not worth living. See, I had faith for that. I didn't have faith to just hit it head on. Because if I'm wrong, then it's like, you know, you haven't accused her of wanting to commit suicide or something. Because you can embarrass people if you don't handle things right. And so, boy, when I said that, she started weeping. Where's the beef lady? She started weeping. She started crying. And I knew I was in on it then. Her family, they didn't go to this church. They went to a Methodist church. They were just visiting this meeting. Her family stood up and I said, and the enemy's trying to tell you that your life is not worth living. Her daughter stands there and goes, oh! I knew I was in on it then. I said, praise God. My radar locked on. Boink. And my faith went up. Now you think that's flesh, but you prophesy according to your proportion of faith. They didn't have catchers. You know, this is before the day of catchers. And this was like a cement floor. And I don't push people over. You probably noticed I don't push people, twist necks. More people need healing afterwards than before with some people. And so I just kind of lightly touched the Where's the Beef lady and I walked on. I heard this thud. She had fallen on a cement floor and hit it. I thought, oh my God. I thought, she is dead. And I am not covered for this, you know. And she wasn't hurt a bit. Make a long story short, her husband of like 50 years, one of those stories, had died a few months earlier. She was grieving, could not get out of it. I absolutely thought she was going to kill herself. I'm talking through praying in the Spirit and just one little word bubbling up into my conscience and going with that one word, a lady's life. She walked out like she was on platform shoes. I cannot stress this enough. That's why I'm spending the most time on it. If you want spiritual sensitivity throughout the day, start using the speaking gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right, quickly, number 5. The fifth key. The fifth key. Everybody say it's Friday night. Everybody say Friday Night Live. Amen. We're not going to take all night, but the other side of it is I'm not going to get in a hurry. Amen. It's Friday night. I mean, back in the world, you didn't say, golly, it's 5 till 9. It's time to get home. You were just cranking up back in those days. All right, number 5. Abound with thanksgiving throughout the day. Abound with thanksgiving throughout the day. And I want to give you a little footnote here. Use the 3 miracle words, thank you, Jesus. Abound with thanksgiving throughout the day and learn to use the 3 miracle words, thank you, Jesus. I've learned to do this. I walk into the office and I got more bills than money. Thank you, Jesus. Are you thanking Jesus for more bills than money? No, I'm saying thank you, Jesus. There'll be an answer to this. I've got a problem, a dilemma I don't know how to solve at home. Thank you, Jesus. I have a victory. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Everybody say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Colossians 2, and I want you to mark this. Mark verses 6 and 7. This is more important to your establishment as a Christian than you may realize. Proverbs 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, circle this, so walk in Him. Well, let's just pause right there. How did you receive Jesus? Was it through works or through faith? How did you receive Jesus? Through works? Were you good enough? Did you earn it? Or was it by faith?
Faith.
All right, look at the verse again. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord through faith, so walk in Him. That means walk in faith. Verse 7. Rooted. Underline that. Rooted. Built up in Him, established in the faith, and here it is, abounding therein with what? Thanks. Now I'm going to tell you why. If you never get over into thanksgiving, your faith won't grow very deep. Because if you're not thanking the Lord throughout the day, you're probably complaining throughout the day. You walk in and there's more bills than money. Most people say, oh my God. And they don't say that in the form of a prayer. They say it in the form of swearing. Oh my God, you take the name of the Lord in vain. Jesus. And they're not calling out on the name of the Lord. They're really almost saying a curse. Almost saying a curse. That's very common in the world. That's the way people talk. You walk into a situation, you don't know what to do. Oh man, when it rains, it pours. You know, and you're on a negative track instead of the positive track of thank you, Lord. Everybody say thank you, Lord. See, thanksgiving, and we said it on Sunday, you ought to write this down, is the language of faith. Thanksgiving is how faith talks. Thank you, Lord, I shall have Isaac. Though Sarah and I are childless, though we're over 100, I shall have a child. Thank you, Lord. That's faith talking. That's faith talking. Joseph is in prison. Doesn't look like he's ever going to get out. Thank you, Lord, the dream is true. Oh, Jehovah, I just thank you and I praise you. I believe the dream you gave me as a young man will come to pass. Thank you, Lord. I don't look at these circumstances. I don't look at the jail. Thank you. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, there's more to it than just being positive. Look at verse 7. It says, rooted, built up Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Evidently, the Apostle Paul went in there and taught them. He said, listen, I want to teach you something. If you want to be established, secure Christian, you're going to have to start abounding. Not just a little dabble, do you? Not just on Thanksgiving Day. Abounding with thanksgiving. Now, I had I heard this face to face with a man. A man who had been in a lifestyle of homosexuality. And he was in the bondage to homosexuality. You know, most of us probably cannot relate to that. But just perversion, sexual, psychological, every type of addiction probably you can think of all wrapped up into this lifestyle. And he said, you know, I got saved. He said, but even though I was saved, I still had these tendencies and still had this lifestyle. Now, see, a lot of Christians would write the guy off right there. Because they don't understand what we drew earlier about the heart and the broken heart and how your spirit man can be changed, but your heart's not right, and so forth. He said, but you know what? He said, I had somebody tell me to start abounding with thanksgiving every day that I was delivered. That I was delivered from the spirit of homosexuality. And thank the Lord every day that my emotions and my desires were normal. And that the Lord was going to normalize my devotion, my emotions and my affections. He said, I would go throughout the day, thank you, Lord, that I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit's restoring my soul. Thank you, Lord. He said exactly what that verse says happened. Look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. He said after a few months of living like that and thanking the Lord every day, he said, even though everything within me was screaming, that's not true. That's not true. He said, my affections changed. My desires changed. Well, when I talked to him, he was happily married. Had children running around his house. And a minister of the gospel. I'm telling you, there are things in your life that you'll never get free from if you don't abound with thanksgiving. There are things that you will never get free from if you don't abound with thanksgiving. You mean I'm supposed to thank the Lord? No, thank the Lord you're out of it. Thank the Lord that He's restored your soul. The brokenhearted have been put back together. Thank you, Lord, I've been delivered. Thank you, Lord, I've been forgiven. Thank you, Lord, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. You enter into thanksgiving. You business people, you do the same thing. Thank you, Lord, my business is prospering. But Jason, you ought to look at my checkbook. No, I don't want to look at your checkbook. I'd rather look at the bank of heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that our business is prospering. Thank you, Lord, you're bringing new accounts our way. Thank you, Lord, the money's coming in. We got more money we know what to do with. And you know, you close the door on your office. I do this when I go home. I close the door on my office. I just walk around thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, the radio's growing. Thank you, Lord, new stations are coming to us. Thank you, Lord, that people are being ministered to every day. There's not one dead broadcast out there. Every day that word goes forth, people are being ministered to in their cars or in their homes or in the hospital or where they might be. Thank you, Lord, that there's plenty of people out there too that are going to respond, like the one leper that came back. And help us, Lord, so that we can continue these broadcasts. Thank you, Lord, for a great army of supporters and partners for our radio ministry to not only be supported but to expand. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? That puts you on a positive track. I mean, you walk out, it's just like, hallelujah. Amen. Devils are embarrassed to be around you. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Oh, there's just so many verses we could go to, but this will be the last one on this particular key. Romans 1, 21. Everybody say, abound with thanksgiving throughout the day. Now, if you just do the last two we talked about, you're going to be praying in the Spirit throughout the day. You're going to be singing in the Spirit throughout the day. At times, you'll be interpreting throughout the day. In between times when you want to break from praying in the Spirit, you'll be saying, thank you, Jesus, throughout the day. I mean, your whole lifestyle is going to be more, they that are minded of the things of the Spirit have life and peace. They that mind the things of the Spirit have life and peace. You're getting your soul and your spirit wedded together, as it were. Romans chapter 1. Verse 21. Because that when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God. And they also messed up somewhere else. Mark verse 21. Neither were thankful. Verse 21. Chapter 1. Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? Neither were what? And look what that leads to. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Did you know when you get over into the opposite of thanksgiving, what is that? Murmuring, complaining, not giving God any glory. It causes your mind to shut down, as it were, from the creativity that the Holy Ghost would like to give you. It says that your imagination becomes unproductive. Your heart is darkened, and you don't have the creative energy, and it's just a matter of time that you go into a perverse lifestyle, which this passage goes on to talk about. Let's flip it around. Let's read this verse backwards. I like to do that sometimes. Let's say it said this, verse 21. I think this is fair. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him as God and abounded with thanksgiving. And their imaginations became productive, not vain, and their heart was enlightened. Can you see that? When we get into thanksgiving, it gets us into the creativity. The Holy Ghost knows. The Holy Ghost starts percolating up, bubbling up. We get some creativity. We get some light. Our mind becomes fruitful instead of unfruitful. We get God ideas. Everybody say God ideas. That's one of the reasons we need to abound with thanksgiving. All right, number six, the sixth key to developing spiritual sensitivity. Develop the habit of writing down. You need to develop the habit of writing down key thoughts. Develop the habit of writing down key thoughts and ideas that come to you throughout the day. Now, this is a habit you have to develop. Develop the habit of writing down key ideas and thoughts that come to you throughout the day. And I'll pick up on something that was spoken over someone in one of the other meetings. And that is, you really ought to just have the habit of keeping right by your bed a little pad and a little a pen. And when you get an, I find when I lay down at night, sometimes before I drift to sleep, I get answers for things I need tomorrow. But if I don't jot them down, I will forget them. I cannot tell you, Pastor West, how many fabulous sermons and series I've had and lost because I didn't write them down. Have you ever had that happen? I mean, God give you an idea. The Holy Ghost percolate up in you. Sometimes when you're in that twilight between sleep and wakefulness, I think many times the Holy Spirit has more of a chance to get in there because our mind's not all focused on something else. And I cannot tell you how many, I hate to admit it, how many times the Holy Spirit in the past would give me something and it was just like, I know y'all are sanctified and y'all are beyond this, but it's just like, Lord, it's too much effort to reach over here. I'll do it in the morning. In the morning, it's gone like the vapor. So I've changed. I keep that pad right there. And when I get something, I may click that light on two or three times. And Martha, she just lives with it. She just turns over the other way and looks the other way. She doesn't want the light in her eyes. And she knows I'm up there, oh, praise God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting ideas. I'm getting key thoughts. And I'll tell you, some of them will put money in your pocket. Some of them will put money in your pocket. You do what God tells you to do. He knows where the fish are. Oh, preacher shouldn't be talking like that. Why not? Peter caught a bunch of fish. He said, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We're tired of it. If you want to know the truth, I'm ready to go home. I'm headed to the house. Peter, take your boat and go back out there. I know where the fish are. And he caught a boat sinking, net breaking load of fish and sold them and used that money. Habakkuk chapter 2. A couple more passages and we're through. Habakkuk chapter 2. Are you learning something? We're talking about spiritual sensitivity. You say, well, why is this important to spiritual sensitivity? Well, does it do you any good if God speaks to you and you don't remember it? Hello? Hello? Does it do any good if God speaks to you and you don't remember it?
Oh, I'll tell you, I got some of the greatest prophetic utterances the other night. What did God say? Can't quite remember.
Wow, you're on your way to being a spiritual giant. Develop the habit of writing down key thoughts and ideas that come to you throughout the day. Habakkuk chapter 2. We looked at this in, I believe, one of the morning sessions. Go to chapter 2 and let's look at verse 2 and 3. Well, actually, it was one of the sessions on times and seasons. Look at verses 2 and 3. If these aren't marked in your Bible, mark them. Habakkuk chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. There it is. Everybody say, write the vision. Everybody say, write the idea. Write the thought. All right, verse 2. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will say it, surely come. Say it. It will surely come. Say it. It will surely come. Now, why do you imagine the Lord told him to write it down? Because it's going to come, but during those waiting phases, when you get discouraged, you need to pull that thing out and reread it. Now here's what the Lord said. I know the Lord said this. I've got it dated, look at that, 3 years ago. You know, I've got things actually in my book bag back at the hotel room that the Lord has spoken to me years ago. They have been so significant to me that I keep them with me. I keep them with me. Why? Just like what Paul told Timothy. He said, don't you remember the prophetic utterances that went on you? He says, by them war, a good warfare. You remember what God said to you so that you can war a good warfare. Because in those waiting times, every doubt's going to hit you. No, God didn't speak to you. That was just an idea running through your mind. You pull that little piece of paper out and say, no, I wrote it down here. And you remind yourself, it causes you to hold on to your faith. Causes you to hold on to your faith. All right, number 7. This is the last key that I'm going to give you. This is not obviously the last key of spiritual sensitivity. I bet you'll be able to add more to this. The last one we'll look at, the 7th key for developing spiritual sensitivity is this. Develop a listening ear and instant obedience. Develop a listening ear and instant obedience. St. John 14, and this is our last text. St. John chapter 14. Develop a listening ear and instant obedience. Now, if you've done the things we've described prior in the other keys, you're going to be hearing God. I have no doubt about this. If you spend time, for instance, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs throughout the day, if you'll begin to pray in the Spirit more throughout the day, if you'll begin to study the Word and become addicted to the Word, we talked about a number of keys, I have no doubt at all the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you. But then you've got to obey. Everybody say obey.
Obey.
Obey. Everybody say obey.
Obey.
And so when you know that God has said thus and so, you obey it as quick as you can. St. John 14, and go to verse 21. This is quite a verse. Just before I came over here, I was looking at this verse and studying some of the original words and what they meant. It's just so amazing, this verse. St. John chapter 14, go to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. May I just paraphrase that? The one who knows what they're supposed to do and does it, obeys. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And here's what I want you to see. Circle this. I will love him and will manifest. There's the word I want you to see. And will manifest myself to him. Let me give you the definition for the word manifest. The word manifest there means to disclose and make information known. To disclose and make information known. Here's what Jesus is saying. And the context is there is Jesus saying, I'm getting ready to go away. And they're saying, well, how are you going to talk to us? You're not going to be here. How are you going to talk to us? Look at verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. Verse 22. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? I mean, they're confused, and I can't blame them. Jesus is getting ready to go away. He says, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And they're like, wait a minute. You're not going to be here. How are you going to communicate to us? I mean, today we would say walkie-talkie. Holy Ghost walkie-talkie. But they didn't even understand telephones, walkie-talkie. I mean, I imagine these men were totally in the dark. How are you going to do it? And Jesus said, I'll tell you what. You obey me, and more shall be given. You obey me, and my Holy Spirit will show you the next step. You obey me, and I will tell you the information you need. I'll manifest myself to you. Here's the other side of it. God tells you to take that step, and you don't do it. Why in the world should God tell you the next step down the road? It's like raising my children. My children are good, good children. They really are. But occasionally, children are children. And so you say, Ryan, Joanna, I want you to make the bed in your room, pick up your room, and then we got something really special we're going to do. Daddy, what's that really special thing? What's that special thing? Well, go make your bed and clean up the room. And so, you know, you walk by the room about 5 minutes later, and children are children. They just, all of a sudden, you know, they're into something else. I mean, he's having World War III with the G.I. Joe guys. Is the bed made? No, the bed's not made. You walk by, Dad, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Ryan, the bed. Oh, okay. And normally they get right to it, but how many parents can relate to this? It's like, okay, I'm not disclosing and I'm not manifesting the cool thing that we're going to do until that bed is made and the room is picked up. You do that, more shall be given. It's like walking with a flashlight. How many of you are professional at walking at flashlights? How many of you ever used a flashlight? How many of you have ever seen a flashlight? Nobody has walked with a flashlight. All right, you take that flashlight, you bought it at Walmart, you're so excited about it. Praise God, this is a 3-battery flashlight. And so you flip that beam on, and that beam goes, say, 20 feet. Really neat flashlight, 20 feet. But you know, you didn't buy it to just go 20 feet, did you? You bought that flashlight so that you could walk from here to the shed out there that is 100 feet. So what do? This is a reject flashlight, man. It only goes 20 feet. You take that back to the Walmart customer service. You say,
I pay good money for this flashlight. I'm a hard working man. I got to go 100 foot. Don't you got a 100 foot flashlight?
They're going to look at you and go, they're going to look at you and just go, wow, we've got another one. They say, let me tell you, sir, does it turn on?
Oh, yes, it turns on, but it goes to 50, not go to 100.
Tell you what you do, sir. Take notes if you have to. And mark it down. You step into the light that you have, and the beam moves forward. Oh. And so you get the guy walking, oh. Gertrude, come over here. Look at this. Look at this, baby. See that? Light's moving forward. Now, you know, we laugh at a silly little thing like that, but your Christians are like that. It's like, I don't want to just take the next 2 steps, God. I want you to show me the big, long-range plan. Yeah. And God says, take the next two steps. Go to Bible school. Well, I don't know about Bible school. I want to know what my ministry is going to be. Go to Bible school. You go to Bible school and the beam moves forward. Everybody say it. The beam moves forward. Everybody say it again. The beam moves forward. That's what Jesus was saying. I'll communicate to you this way. I'll communicate to you. If you will obey, I will manifest. If you don't, it's not going to be disclosed. It's going to be closed. Amen. How many of you learned something about spiritual sensitivity? Are we ready to go out and move with God's times and seasons? Praise God.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.